number 8.
Shit, it's done. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, boys and gentle girls. Really just want to welcome you to another episode. I think this is episode 8, according to what he said earlier. And this is a special bonus episode, if you like to think of it like that. It's a bit shorter. We don't apologize. Get used to it. Actually, maybe not. It depends. We're experimenting some things. We're learning some new things. I hope you enjoy this episode. And with that, we're just kind of going to get into it, I think. Right? Just get into it? All right, let's go.
Let's go. So there was a conversation ensuing right before I pressed the record button because I was on my phone. So my apologies, people. We're going to continue the conversation here. So welcome to halfway through.
Yeah, halfway through the conversation.
But you have to give them the background. You can't just drop them in the middle.
The quote. Yeah.
Okay. The quote? No, there's no quote.
We were not talking about the quote yet.
You're talking about doing a cost-benefit analysis between jail and maybe something like insider trading. Let's say you do insider trading, get caught.
No,
Besson was on his phone.
You wait. You just wait. Let us do it.
Anyway, what Miracle? Yeah, what Miracle have said? He said people. That are doing it's not a bad thing. That's those people that choose that are doing things that they know it's gonna take them to jail
because they like to go to jail.
And then he said they're doing it because they like to go to jail or they feel like you go to jail. And the whole argument was like, I don't agree with it. I was saying that they don't do that because they want to go to jail. It's they're doing it because going to jail is a consequence and they're willing to take the risk to do whatever they're doing because it's cool.
Yeah, but I'm saying, and now what I'm saying is that. We're talking a little bit about time to an extent, right? Mm-hmm. Like redeeming this time that we have right now, like using this prime years of our life that we got right now, because this is the only time we've got. This our 20s is the perfect time when we have to explore opportunities and take hold of the things in front of us. Mm-hmm. There's some opportunities that will lead you down the wrong path. And where Bester was coming in with his business sense about cost benefit analysis or whatever he said, but where I said, no, the benefits, when does the benefits ever outweigh going to jail? You know, if the benefits outweighs losing money, you compared it to losing money.
So people can say like, it's the cost of doing business. If that is your business, it's the cost of doing that business. The cost of doing that business is going to jail. And most times the jail can just be 10 years or something. You can just go back and continue in a way. Although there will be some deterrent against continuing, but that's another thing. You can basically take it 10 years and you probably have like a shit. If it's okay, if it's a financial scam, you can basically do it, hide all your money, you get caught, you hide all your money, they probably don't seize your money, and then you come back and come out from jail, then live in exile.
And in regards to that, how you were saying it's they want to go to jail a lot of time, or you're talking about like they don't do the cost benefit
analysis.
It's I just think there's a lot of privilege that a lot of people have that we don't get to see. You, the point of view that you have, a lot of people grow up in like a shitty environment that they don't have that point of view of yours. Like if you grow up in a very messed up family and selling drugs is your way out or making money, that's what you're going to start doing. He's not doing it because he want to go to jail. He knows it's the risk. You know what I'm saying? He's not doing it because he wants to go to jail. It's a risk of whatever he decide to do.
Another thing is that in that community, they probably it's very, very common to see people who went to jail and are still successful.
Yeah.
So they probably won't see jail as a deterrent. They'll see jail as maybe a step. Just like a pinch to the skin. Mm-hmm. That's a step back. And you can get back into life again and keep going. Mm-hmm. But you don't see thing about it is that you only see success stories, you hardly see failure stories. Success stories are more common. They have better PR.
But the question is that, do they know what the success rate is? Do they?
A lot of people don't. Nobody measures.
People only look at the success.
Yeah, just like
it's almost like 100 to 0.
And like, I'm not dissing anybody who's doing Bitcoin or doing Forex, but 94% of the time of
you've all done it for yourself.
No, as I said,
talk about yourself.
Yes,
talk about yourself. How many K did you throw away?
Bro, like 7K or something.
Hey, I'm telling you, this boy threw away money for a car and a house.
You trust?
And down payment.
Yeah.
When he was telling me about all the risk, I was like, "Bestie, man, you got balls of steel for sure." Pause.
To lose,
bro, because Bestie was working and like every like other week, I was asking him, "Bestie, how's it going?" Like, he would tell me of his one new business venture, was moving into real estate. Next week, he's telling me he's moving into some kind of forex or crypto or some shit like that. But every week, you tell me, I'm like, "How much you put in? $250 to register?" I'm like, $300 every day or some shit like that is losing versus making. I'm like,
yeah, it's just like you've been sold a pipe dream that at some point you're gonna get to the point of like, just like, it's a pyramid scheme. Because if you look at it, some people are making money, there's people under them, and like, oh yeah, so no, it's not a pyramid, it's an MLM. Oh, what's MLM? Multi-level. So what do you call levels? So if you measure the levels and put a line across it, will it make a square or a pyramid? Answer.
Why would they?
Bro, I'm telling you, it
would make a clear pyramid, like simply make a pyramid. Yeah. And it's about the people that you're so susceptible to pyramid schemes. Like,
yeah,
you're probably gonna fall into one without knowing.
It's a scary thing. Like, it's not a scary thing per se, but they don't tell you. The people that lose money end up just going away, right, without telling you about it. The people that make money are the ones that are running the show. Those are the people you see. Those are the 2-3%. Yeah, my dad did something like that too over the summer. I think it was during the COVID time, so it was like maybe 2019. I've never seen my dad work this hard before in his life. Man, he was working hours a day. When they were telling him about that, when they introduced him to business, they were telling him that your times are flexible. You can do whatever you want with your hours. You can choose to work for just 10 minutes a day, or you can work for 3 hours a day. However long you work, however much you make. When he got into the job, you have to hit a quota of 300 hours a week. You have to hit a quota of this and this. I'm like, wait, this exact opposite of what you told him when he was walking in. And now he's paid a membership fee for a year that he's going to refuse to leave for. So he's going to slave his way out there eventually until he gives up because he's not made any money.
The one issue is that if it feels too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true.
That's a scary thing.
It feels completely. And it not even feels good. If you feel like it's going to happen to everybody, because everyone's going to feel like, okay, I've been working for so hard for a long time, let me find an easy way to make money. And that is the point whereby this nigga's coming. Excuse my language, but this nigga's coming.
They are waiting for you.
They're waiting.
One phone call away. Exactly. While my dad was working that kind of job, that same summer, one of them called me for something, like one of my friends who was trying to introduce me to it, because she was doing it, she was into it. She got me a phone call with one pastor. Whenever it becomes almost personal, because you know they are men of God and you have some faith in them, exactly. And you think that, oh, this pastor is not going to want to lead me down the wrong path. Now let me follow him. Let me listen to what he has to say. My dad told me, don't even pick up that phone call. Leave it there and go. It's not going to work. You can see me doing it already. It's not worked out. Just leave it.
I just never.
And that was one of the best advice he gave me that summer. To just go and rest in that summer.
And that was one of the issues I had, was that I had nobody telling me, okay, that's stupid. What the fuck are you doing? I just had people who were just willing to support me, which is a good thing.
I was willing to support you. When you told me to come to your Zook, I said congratulations.
Yeah, that's it.
Because I cannot do any more than that.
Support was there.
Yes.
Support is not what I needed. I just clean up my head. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, get out of here. Like,
yeah,
I needed that.
We all want to see our friends succeed.
Exactly. Even
how you're explaining it, you were like, bro.
If I want to explain something to you. But the issue why I didn't clock was that the people who I expected at that point in my life to sort of be that figure for me and telling me, okay, this is wrong, with my supporters, I'm just like,
yep, I was one of them too. I wanted best to succeed because I wanted to make money from it.
It's not both of you. It's just like the people who brought me in the normal life where I trusted them to tell me, okay, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just realized that, well,
you learn.
Yeah, learn your lesson.
You learn one way, you learn another way.
That's how you learn in life, to be honest.
Yeah, I guess. So I tell me, like, those people that don't use their time, those people that decide to make those choices of that, they will learn another way. At the end of the day, they'll end up wasting their life and they'll
go away. To be honest, as much as it sucks, life is not fair. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And
I didn't know what you're saying.
Yeah, life. That is like, I know I sound a little depressed right now, but that just sucks. Like, it's life is tough. Not fair. It's just coming from the point that we've been from where we come blessed. And from where we're.
We're blessed.
I was having a conversation with my sister, and she was telling me stuff about, like, how she won't let somebody do this and this and this and this. And then I just looked at her. I'm like, you know, the only reason you're saying that is because you grew up in Canada. If you're still back home, you have the privilege to see some difference, you know, and that gives you, like, oh, there's something better than that, you know what I'm saying? But when you're in some low stage in life, you're like, this is the only way out, you're gonna go through that, you know.
It was tough.
It's privilege. And I'm a lot of time when I look through this, sometimes I'm not an emotional person, but I just, you know, I'm just grateful for what I have right now, you know. You just, we came a long way. And and it's always good to have this conversation, just because seeing the perspective that we all have. Me, sometimes I look back at what would I be doing if I was in Africa right now? Uh-oh. You know what I'm saying? Like, where would your life be, bro, if you're so back home?
That's it. Oh, no, when I get those kind of thoughts, bro, I start to, like, have, like, mini panic attacks and shit like that.
You know, to top it all, sometimes I try to, like, if I was the head of the family, I was the dad in the house, would we be where we are right now? You know what I'm saying?
Some props to our parents.
Those, bro, I take hats off, man. I really respect my dad, bro. The way, you know how you were saying how your dad is a hustler? My dad is a hustler. This man works. Done, bro. And then me, I spend like, I'm work for 3 weeks. No, I work for 3 weeks. I'm like, I need 2 days off, bro.
Bro, me, I study for 30 minutes. I need 15 minutes to rest. I study for another 30 minutes. Bro.
Yeah.
If my dad wants to study. Shit, I said daddy. Fuck. Bro, if my dad wants to study, this man can get his shit together. Be in a room and be there for hours. Get the grades he wants to. That's why sometimes when he sits me down and talking to me, I'm like, you know, talking about, like, in the past and things he used to do and how he used to take things, how he used to get things done.
I think the thing about that mentality already being built into them is, like, they had no choice.
They had to live.
They had no choice.
Yes.
It's because we have a choice, which is something I'm talking about privilege. We have a choice. We have a choice to decide, but, you know what? I can study, but I can study not as hard enough because I know my test is open book.
Yes. Yeah. And that is so fucked up to think.
That is so. Like, when I came here, right, and the first time I told my test was open book, I'm like, are you serious? So you're like, openly. See, the first time you told me I should bring, like, you know, like, resource sheet to exam, I didn't do it for 2 years. My grade 9 year, I didn't do it. Grade 10, I didn't do it because it felt like cheating to me.
Yes.
Like, my body couldn't see right with the fuck that I'm bringing a paper into exam. So I study hard enough to not bring a paper exam. Now, when I hit grade 11 and 12, when life hits me, yes, and I was like, you know what, I'm bringing that paper.
Canadian.
When I became more Canadianized. When I became more Canadianized, I had to bring that paper into the exam because I had no choice. Yeah. I honestly had no choice. I had to bring it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, you know, that's why you get people like me that's, you know, I'm lazy and I know myself, I know who I am. You know, I decide, okay, this is an open book exam, so what am I going to do? I'm going to make my notes super detailed. I'm going to make all my notes super detailed, so I don't actually have to study. But if I have that note, and I have my, you know, I have sticky notes, I have, like, you know, I can figure out, I have my notes written down, I can know where things are, I can know how to get to the answers I need as quick as possible to finish with under the time I need to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So make my notes so detailed that I will not have anything to miss. And so, I'll make sure that I've gone through it just well enough that I know where everything is, so I don't have to study to actually understand.
And
I can get my degree without saying I actually understand what I'm doing, because I can just pick it up from my notes and write it.
Very all those kind of memes on Snap is like some guy engineer who, like, got your whole, like, degree on check.
But it's true. It's the kind of life we live now. To do my mastering assignment, I can just copy my assignment and paste it on Google and say search
it for me. That's my practice. Be careful.
No. Somebody can do that. I'm not saying I'm doing. I do it. I study. I'm wrong, bro. Because those are the kind of things that help you to learn, actually understand what you're doing in class. So doing those kind of things are not safe. But I'm saying that somebody can just, you know, pick it up and search up, you know, keywords from that and they can figure out what they want to, and like figure out the answer to those kind of questions.
Yes.
I know that's the kind of life we're more introduced to now, and you know we think we say we are privileged, but we are also fucked.
Oh Jesus, I didn't look at it that way.
Yeah, because
yeah, but if you look at the future of education is most schools after that, there's only maybe one school in Canada that has that system of tailoring the education to the students, more of setting up like everybody fits, like bringing every single student up to fit into the education systems already. People are looking at interchanging the way the education system works into students coming into class and having a sort of like a training regime set up to their own strengths. It's set up to strengthen their strengths and to get their weaknesses just a bit stronger, that it doesn't affect how they feel about their strengths. So they're focusing more, let's say, if you know how to read, you're going to read more. I'm going to teach you how to read better. If you know how to, if you're more of a talkative person, I'm going to teach you how to speak better. Let's make the future public speakers. If you know how to write, let's make the future writers.
That's amazing.
Let's make the people who know how to make craft work. If you know how to draw, but let's make you better artists.
But now, if we're going to look back, now we're going to look at the future we're moving on to. But are we forgetting to look back on the past and see, so where's the space for the well-rounded people?
They don't exist anymore. I'm not even gonna. Where's the space for life skills? There's no space for life skills.
Yeah, like where's the space for self-improvement, self-idealization, self-realization? Where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm weak, I'm scared of heights. But next year, let's go on this skydiving.
Yeah.
If you strengthen my strength.
Last year, that we're going skydiving next year.
Bro, shut up. That's not what I'm talking about.
I'm just making sure they're gonna hold you accountable.
No, that's an example, bro. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm gonna hold you on that.
Bro, I'm not. You know, if I look at my strength and say, oh yeah, I'm good at talking. I'm good at talking on a podcast, and I keep doing just my strength, which is talking. I can talk forever.
Yes.
But where's the space for, you know, the interest and the spice that makes life what it is?
For me, myself.
That's what I said is a good idea, but it's going to be very dangerous. I don't know if you guys heard me, or it's going to be tough earlier.
For example, I can gauge people's anger. Angry people are getting just by looking at their face because I went to boarding school. You can tell when someone's getting angry and when to dress back and what to say at that point because I went to boarding school. Because in boarding school, if you talk the wrong way, you're getting killed.
You don't even see the slap come.
That's the thing. You might get slapped. And the thing about
you just lose function on your left
and
hand.
And the issue about that is that you can be slapped for disrespecting somebody by somebody behind you.
Yes.
And that is normal in boarding school life. So you have to gauge anger and gauge other things. So where's the space for life?
You also have to have a 360 view.
Exactly.
That
360 view.
You have to be a midfielder always checking your back.
That 360 view.
Bruno Fernandes.
That 360 view something, right? When I walk downtown, right? If I'm walking straight, I'm using the glasses around me to see behind me. So I'm always seen around me.
Don't get jumped.
Nobody's coming around me. Anybody walking too close, I can see you, my glasses. I'm looking right at you, man. With those windows right there, those car windows, I'm looking backwards. And that was how it was for school. I'm walking, there's cars around me, I'm looking at the car, the side screens of the cars, and just looking behind me. Because that's the only way I can see behind myself. Because I don't trust anybody behind me.
See, if you don't trust anybody, imagine how our ladies feels like.
I know what I'm saying.
Ladies would have had a tough time behind them. Yo, ma, let me holler at you real quick.
Yeah,
yo, get away from me.
I had a conversation with one of my female friends I knew from Nigeria. And she said something. She said that, how do I not know how common it is for women to get catcalled in Nigeria? And I was like, I just heard it, but I just never considered it because I'm not a woman. It's not towards me. She's like, wait, do you know how many men think that I'm their wife? I'm just like, wait, are you serious? She's like, yes, how many men think that? Because when she was a kid, like, she was like 13, 14, and men, I'm like, oh, that's my wife. When I grow up, I marry her. I'm just like,
yeah.
Wait, what?
It's messed up.
And it's about it, you hear it so much that it becomes part of the lingo. Yeah. You don't see the...
It's normal.
You don't see the effect of the language to the person. Yeah. You're just like, oh yeah, oh that person is saying something. Oh, you're stupid. But you don't feel though. You don't feel it because it's not towards you.
Yeah.
It's not towards my sister. It's not exactly. And the fact that I have a sister, that might even be the contributing factor of me not seeing all those things. Yeah. Or me just going around like, but I'm just being comfortable with somebody calling someone, oh, hey, my wife, my, or me, my girlfriend, just pulling people.
Yeah,
just,
they don't know the person. Like, I've seen, like, people manhandling people
for no reason. And, the rate of sexual assault in African countries
those kind of things, I just walk, those kind of things, I just walk away. I just keep walking, like, it's not my business. I mean, yeah. I have shit to do. Like, I don't know her, I don't know him. They should do whatever they want to do. It's not my business. You know, that kind of life, look, living my life like that, you know, the things I've done, and, like, that's so scary when I think about it now, when you're saying, when you say it, like, well, that's actually crazy. If that was my sister, I would have thrown hands, I would have turned around, I would have found him and would have settled it right there that evening. Right there, would have figured out who was stronger. If he was stronger, she would have run away at least. Yeah. And I bought her time. Paul, how does he feel? You have a sister, both of us don't actually.
Bro, you see, it's tough because I try hard not to be the protective or overbearing older brother. But at the same time, it's like, I'm a guy. I have a mind of a guy. I know how guys be working, how they be moving. So, like, I can't help it. I have to, but I try my best. Sometimes my sister calls me out. She's like, you're doing it again. I'm like, I'm gonna stop. Let me just, you know, not control myself. But, like, you know how you said you will throw hands? That kind of scares me because if anybody does anything to my sister, I will lose it. And I've lost it one time and it really ended bad. So, like, I try my best not to, like, go back there. But, man, today was a very, actually, you know, I did enjoy this talk, you know. It was really nice.
I still think that, you know, not only for those that are not privileged, like you say, but even those that are privileged, you know, those people that are privileged or those people that came here and they've been here, and so they understand what the struggle is to come from a different place and to be in a novel place.
Mm-hmm.
And they choose to take those kind of risks, you know, those kind of people that make me scared. Those kind of people are not scared for their time. Those kind of people that I say don't redeem their time. Because the days are evil and we have to understand that.
That's
yeah. And with that, we're just going to close this episode.
Yeah, and also I'm going to end the quotes. The quote for this week came from Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15. We go in the Bible today.
Hallelujah.
Open your Bible, my people.
So, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 59 says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Amen.
That's beautiful.
Amen.
We're not going to comment on that. We're just going to leave it to you guys. You know, just take a moment to think it over.
Have a good evening.
And you're like, let me have a good evening, bro. Why you gotta steal that, bro? I'm talking now. I'm gonna start muting you. Next episode, bring that close to me. I'm gonna meet you out. My name is guys. Thank you so much for joining our podcast this weekend. We hope to see you guys next week. Have a good evening.
Check out TikTok.
You've reached the end of another episode of Ransom Pekins.
You can hit us up on our email at ransompekins@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at ransompekins.
And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Have a good evening.
Peace.